Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a medical tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sid, pretend I did the intro sad. Like, pretend I sounded sad when I did it.
Do you want to start over again?
No. Just pretend I sounded sad.
Justin, you sound so sad. What's wrong?
Thanks for noticing, Sydney. I'm just a little bit depressed.
Why are you a little bit depressed?
Well, it's I don't know, you know, the seasons are changing all around us, but
the beautiful fall leaves are falling.
They're kind of unimpressive this year, don't you think?
Foliage
is particularly.
I feel like it kind of happened all at once because it was hot all the way up until it wasn't hot. So they're all more like brown and crunchy straight there instead of like the red.
Oh, why
soft
did you have
part
to say brown and crunchy? Oh, that's why I'm really sad.
You're really sad because of brown and crunchy?
Yeah.
You're going to have to give me some explanation here.
Sydney, Halloween season is over, and that could only mean one thing. Monster cereals are over.
Oh.
Why do they make cereals that I can only have sometimes?
Well, really, if you think about it, all cereals should only be eaten sometimes.
Okay, Dr. Phil, maybe you could get off my back for a second and try to sympathize with
me. I'm just saying, like, not every single night right before you go to sleep, maybe. All cereals.
I haven't had it the past 2 nights, but thank you for noticing my huge accomplishment and really giving me credit for it.
I think it's because you made cookies.
I did make cookies. They were hazelnut sea salt cookies. What do you want from me? Sydney, I'm so sad about Monster cereals going away.
I am sorry about that, Justin. I know that you enjoy all of the Halloween-inspired, monster-themed, artificially flavored and colored.
Artificially flavored and colored. How dare you? They harvest those frankenberries naturally.
Monster-shaped cereals with Sweeties.
With Sweeties.
With Sweeties.
Well, you ever check out the old commercials for them if you haven't. they used to say they're filled with Sweeties to keep from saying, like, we put marshmallows in the cereal. Dig us.
That's what they are. They're secretly. I don't think that's better. I still think either way, I think, like, there's candy in there.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, even though you might not be eating Halloween-themed cereals anymore, you may still be able to experience their joy in a way.
How is that possible?
Well, has your poop changed color?
It changes color every day, Sydney. I'm a man in the midst of a change, always.
Is that what that song's about?
I'm vibrant that way.
Have you ever heard of Frankenberry stools, Justin?
No, I haven't. And I'm assuming it's not the kind you sit on.
No. I want to tell you about Frankenberry stools.
Okay, great.
But before I get into this intriguing Halloween tale, post-Halloween tale of about multicolored poop, you know, the various excretions that come from the human body can come in a wide variety of colors.
This is no surprise to me. I'm almost 36.
we tend to assume that there's kind of like a designated color for everything. But we've known, and I mean, you can find records of this back to the ancient Greeks, that we can look at poop and pee and spit and blood and, you know, all the other various things that come out of the human body, snot, and based on its color or its odor or even its flavor, we've been able to tell things about our state of health. We've referenced before on this show that there used to be a wheel of urine flavor.
Yes.
That you could check.
America's Worst Game Show. Wheel of Urine Flavor.
But there is so much that the color of these various human excreta can tell us.
Well, I'm sure there's no way I'm going to be able to dissuade you from it. So let's talk about colors of excretions. Can you paint with all the colors of your pee?
Let's start with urine, because I think we all have some preconceived notions about, like, what colors pee can come in and what it might mean.
Yeah.
So, like, Justin, what does good pee look like?
Good pee is clear, because that means you're getting enough water.
Okay, good. So, you don't want it completely clear.
What?
If it's completely clear, if it looks like water, then you may be overhydrated.
Nobody's overhydrated. Nobody's drinking enough water.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Like, generally speaking, most people don't drink enough water. But there is such a thing as overhydrated.
Okay.
That you can drink too much water.
I want to ask you a question, but we're going to wait till we get through this for a few colors. So clear is maybe overhydrated.
Yeah. Pale yellow is what you're really shooting for.
Okay.
Now, let me say this, though. I think it's important to note, a lot of people think they're supposed to, like, hydrate to some sort of urine color. Thirst is a much better marker.
Okay.
So don't. I'm like, you shouldn't be looking at your pee constantly and going, ooh, it's still a little darker yellow than I think it should be.
I've heard that once you're thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated.
Yeah, when you're thirsty, though, drink. Don't go, like, pee and think, well, I'm not thirsty at all, but my pee isn't quite as pale as I think it should be. I better drink a bunch of water.
Okay.
This is just, it's a little tedious. It gets a little silly. Is it, in a general way, if your urine is a little more pale yellow, you're probably better hydrated. If it gets darker yellow, a little bit dehydrated, all the way to, you know, if you're really dehydrated, your pee can even start to look like orangish.
Okay, here's what I wanted to get to. And this may be more of a theological question, I guess, or philosophical.
Go on.
Okay. If you pee clear liquid, you might be overhydrated. If you're pee like yellow or orange,
you might be a redneck.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
You might be,
I just didn't know where you were going there.
You might be dehydrated, right?
Yeah.
But pee is mainly water, right?
Yeah.
So if your body's dehydrated, why does it have extra to pee? Why isn't it holding on for dear life?
Well, it has to flush. I mean, you still have to flush toxins out of your body, and they come out dissolved in a liquid.
That's what I have my foot pads for.
But if you notice,
that was a joke.
We'll move on. No, the thing is, what you're looking at, the color of your urine is how concentrated it is. So when it is darker and more concentrated, your body is doing exactly what you're suggesting. It's conserving water. It's keeping liquid in and excreting the stuff that needs to be excreted in a smaller amount, a smaller volume of liquid. So you have more solute within the liquid, so it looks darker.
So,
but you still have stuff you got to flush out. There's stuff your kidneys just have to get rid of.
So orange is very dehydrated, among other things.
It can also mean things like you have a buildup of bile, so like maybe a liver problem.
Okay.
There's certain medications that can turn your urine orange. The one that I hear about most frequently is an over-the-counter medication that people sometimes use if they have a urinary tract infection and they get burning while they pee. It's called Peridium. But this medication, and it is sold over the counter, and it will tell you on the box, it will turn your urine orange, bright orange, impressively orange. I cannot stress that enough.
Okay.
There's also things like muscle breakdown that can turn your urine orange. Now, pink urine is possible. Now, generally, when we see pink, we get nervous because pink is the predecessor for red. But pink can mean something scary like blood, but it could just also mean you ate a lot of beets. If you eat enough blueberries, it will turn your urine pink.
Okay. Got to step up my blueberry consumption.
If you eat enough rhubarb. So you could think of like a really delicious pie, maybe
a pink pea pie,
a blueberry rhubarb pie. That probably works, right?
Yeah, I think
if strawberry rhubarb works, doesn't blueberry rhubarb?
I mean, it's not going to hurt your pee to throw some strawberries in there if you're worried about it.
Well, I mean, don't throw strawberries in your pee.
Well, no, that would be ridiculous. That'd be a very bad punch for an even worse party.
Of course, red urine makes us all nervous. We worry about blood in there. We worry about lead or mercury poisoning, or there are certain other things that can cause red urine. In general, if your urine is pink or red, you probably should go talk to your doctor. Your urine can turn green.
Okay.
Now, generally, this is from food dyes can do this. Obviously, green food dyes. Certain herbal supplements. I've seen green urine before. Quite green from just taking various herbal things. You could actually eat enough asparagus to cause your pee to turn green.
Asparagus is always wanting to mess the pee.
I know. We all know about the odor, but it can
turn green. Do you know the odor doesn't come from the asparagus?
What does it come
from? Something your body's doing.
We've talked about this before.
Did I learn this on Sawbones? That would be very embarrassing.
Yes, because not everybody has...
Yeah.
Not everybody has weird asparagus pee.
We've talked about asparagus pee. I don't want to get into it.
Already covered this, so we won't cover this.
I
don't want to talk
about the sense of pride I get from asparagus pee, because I know I ate some asparagus like a good boy.
Have you ever heard of blue diaper syndrome?
Nope.
I bet you could guess what that is.
Blue pee pee.
Blue pee pee. That's right. And it is something that usually shows up in babies, so we call it blue diaper. Sometimes in medicine, we're not very creative.
Yeah.
Like you pee in your diaper and it's blue, and so it's blue diaper. There you go. It's actually related to like buildup of tryptophan, which will make the urine look blue from a familial elevation in calcium, a familial genetic kind of disorder.
Hmm.
But yeah, the first thing might be your diaper is blue. And not like when the stripe on the diaper turns blue to tell you that your baby pee-peed.
Right.
Which is just a little handy thing. There are a couple different foods that can turn your urine black.
Oh.
If you eat enough rhubarb, push it past pink, you could actually make your urine look black. Aloe, which we've talked about before, there are like aloe drinks and things, which I still haven't had, can make your urine black. Fava beans.
Mm-hmm. What about a nice Chianti? Does that help?
I don't know. Maybe that'd make it kind of a nice burgundy.
Something.
I don't know. If your urine is white, it could mean infection, but it could also mean that you got a lot of protein in there or that some would be calcium. Weird.
That one would trip me out.
Yeah. Yeah, white. Usually cloudy is what you see first, but it can be white. Now, purple. This is kind of an interesting. Have you ever seen purple urine?
Okay. Think about what you're saying. Like, no, I don't.
Purple pee?
I don't encounter. Okay. If I had seen purple urine, you would have heard about it because it would have been my own. I don't know what your life is like, but I see
pee all the time.
I only see my own pee, classically speaking. I see my own pee. Have I ever seen purple urine?
I have seen purple urine.
I saw it in that one episode of Scrubs, though.
Oh, I was going to say, don't you remember when I brought home the porphyria pee and put it in our windowsill?
Yeah.
There was a patient. There's porphyria. If you have this, then when you take the pee and put it in UV light, it turns like a dark purple kind of color. Mm-hmm.
Should you say that you brought home someone else's pee?
I didn't do that. I didn't bring up someone else's pee. No, okay. I didn't do that.
All right.
I put it in the windowsill.
Before we had a toddler.
In the hospital of a sterile room designated for pee experiments.
Every hospital has one.
In the hospital is where I put that there, and then it was turned purple there. No, that isn't even the purple I'm talking about, though. So there is something called purple urine bag syndrome.
Okay.
Now, I bet you can't guess what this does.
No, try me.
It turns catheter bags or urine bags purple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why that specifically?
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting thing. This was observed. There were some case reports of actually a lot of female residents of nursing homes who had chronic catheters, so they always had a catheter in their bladder. Mm-hmm. And they started noticing several different patients that the bags, the catheter bags where the urine was collected, was turning purple. Bright purple. Okay. Right. So this is why. You have in your diet tryptophan. We're back to tryptophan again. This is colorful little amino acid. Tryptophan is metabolized by bacteria that's already in your gut to produce something called indole. Indole is absorbed into the blood, passes into the intestines, passes to the liver, converted to something called indoxal sulfate. This is excreted in the urine. Now, what makes that turn purple, it can be broken down into indirubin and indigo, which obviously are pigmented things that look purple, are certain bacterias that can live inside urinary catheters, specifically certain ones made of like PVC and stuff. Okay. So Anyway, the bacteria are just living, not causing problems, just like harmlessly living inside this tubing and bag. Then this indoxal sulfate comes along. It gets broken down by this bacteria. Bam, you've got a purple catheter bag.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
Yeah. And it's easily fixable usually.
Okay. I'll take care of it.
Now, one thing we don't talk about very often is breast milk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk about it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, by we, do you mean you and I? Because I feel like it's a hot topic.
I think it's interesting just to, not everybody is going to secrete breast milk in their life. Some of us are, some of us aren't. But I think it's an interesting thing to hear about because if you are someone who at some point in your life is going to breastfeed, the fact that sometimes it comes out different colors can be very disturbing to you.
I can imagine.
So an experience that Justin, you and I had mm-hmm. was pink breast milk.
Well, you had and I witnessed.
You witnessed.
From a safe distance.
And I will say, actually, the breast milk itself wasn't pink, but my pump and tubing and all this stuff turned pink. Mm. And that is because there's a bacteria called serratia that's normally found inside your baby's gut. And it can, in certain settings, cause different diseases, but usually there's not enough there to make baby sick or anything. The problem is that if you leave your pumping equipment out and you didn't completely clean it, so it's still got a little bit of milk residue on it, and it sits at room temperature too long, or if you were to just sit a bottle of breast milk out at room temperature too long, this might happen too.
And let's be honest, if you have a baby that requires breast milk, you probably didn't properly clean it before you start it.
You'll do really well in the beginning, and then those late nights at one time, you're going to think you rinsed it out pretty well, and then it turns pink because it's growing this bacteria on it, and then you probably need to replace everything. But it can make your milk look pink, so you can have pink breast milk. That sounds adorable. It's not really great because, it is, in fact, a bacteria. Mm-hmm. There's a green breast milk, which, again, just from stuff you eat, like spinach or seaweed or, again, different, like, herbal supplements. There's a something called rusty pipe syndrome, which can cause brown breast milk.
That's a bad name.
I have just learned this name while researching this episode, and I am simultaneously calling for the end to this name because I find it offensive as someone with breasts that produce milk. Don't call them rusty pipes.
Yeah, that sounds like bad slang. Sounds like British slang, honestly.
I don't like it at all. What it means is that there was a little bit of irritation in one of the ducts, and there was some dried blood in there, and the dried blood came out kind of like a rusty pipe. The name completely upsets me. Please stop calling it that. It's just a little bit of dried blood. It's fine.
You need Nobody's another name for it. You were just getting on doctors for not being creative enough. Someone comes up with a fine metaphorical name, and then you try to shoot them down.
That compares the beauty of the mammary glands, the magic and wonder that is everything that goes into lactation, to rusty pipes.
I'm just saying you need a better alternative.
I am not plumbing, sir.
Fair enough. I never said you were.
Black breast milk can be caused by a certain medication, minocycline, which probably shouldn't be taken if you're breastfeeding anyway. And there can be orange breast milk, seasonal orange breast milk.
Fun.
If you eat enough pumpkin or squash.
Oh, kind of. Everybody's going that pumpkin spice eating breast milk.
I wish I had thought to do that. Eat just so much pumpkin or squash that Charlie could have festive.
What's the weirdest pumpkin spice orange thing you had this season? Do you have anything
I didn't
notable?
Have a lot of weird pumpkin spice.
I saw pumpkin spice
Twinkies. I was going to say, that was the weirdest thing I saw, but I didn't
get them. We have pumpkin spice Cheerios. That was fine.
They were okay.
They're fine. You eat too many Cheerios. I feel like solitary in among cereals. I feel like if I eat too many Cheerios, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what is even happening? Like, nothing's happening. I'm eating these, like, there's no variation. It's so boring to eat Cheerios. Well,
okay.
Rice Krispies, they'll like clump together appetizingly sometimes. Like, that does not happen with Cheerios. It's so boring to eat Cheerios. Any flavor.
Well, I appreciate, Justin, that you're sinking deeper into a sense of existential ennui over Cheerios. Could we maybe head to the billing department?
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs.
So our shifts in the hospital can be really long or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs makes scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion thanks to Quince. Now, I know that that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa. And we host the weekly comedy podcast, One Bad Mother.
We celebrate our moments of parenting genius.
As well as our failures.
Just like, we're going to have hot dogs. And I'm like, no, we're having fun. Everybody loves hot dogs.
Yeah.
And it just like smashes that thing right on my chest. And then I'm just crying in the middle of like kids' space while people are like literally dancing with their children.
Parenting can be sad and painfully funny at the same time.
So join us each week as we admit that this is hard, but we're getting really good at it.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Okay. You talked about pee and you talked about breast milk. I think there's a notable other secretion there that you're skipping.
Right. Let's talk about poop.
Heck yeah.
Now we've talked about poop on this show before. That's not new, but I don't know that we've gone into all the different colors of poop.
No, I keep trying to edge us into that territory and you're always pushing back against it.
So before we get into the story of Frankenberry's stool, let's talk about some of the things that might happen to your stool anyway.
I should mention real quick, just sidebar, I'm super not grossed out by any poop related stuff. So like if you are, I'm sorry in advance for not being a good mouthpiece for your displeasure, mm-hmm. listener. Yeah. I apologize. But Cindy doesn't like...
I don't like poop stuff.
Okay, well, go on.
Do you know that booberry could turn your stool green?
That doesn't make sense.
It can turn it kind of bluish, but a lot of people do report sort of bright green stools if they eat enough booberry.
Is this episode just all monster cereal character assassination?
No, because I don't think Count Chocula does anything to your poop.
I leave a lot of nutrients in there.
with my marshmallow sweeties.
You can get blue stool from, like I said, blueberry could make it kind of blue, although most people report green. There was a Smurf cereal that used to turn your poop blue.
Oh, Sydney.
What?
It's my favorite cereal.
Did you love Smurf cereal?
Sydney?
You've never talked to me about Smurf cereal.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Smurf Berry Crunch or Smurf Magic Berries, but specifically for me, it was Smurf Berry Crunch, was the most delicious cereal I've ever eaten in my entire life, and no cereal tastes like it.
Did it turn your poop blue?
I wasn't big into checking that sort of thing. This is like, seriously, it makes me, I bet we'll have some listeners here in the same boat. It is my favorite cereal on the planet. They're so good, and no cereal tastes like them. And you'll find people in some of the forums talk about how, like, they don't know other cereal tastes like it. And I don't care what color I turn my poop. I would eat a box of those so hard right now. I'm checking eBay to see if I can score any.
Okay, while you're doing that, let me tell you that if you want orange poop, you could eat some Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I don't mean the Smurfs cereal, okay? The Smurf cereal is based on the ill-fated Neil Patrick Harris vehicle. Not interested.
No.
Smurf Berry Crunch.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want purple or magenta stool, you could eat enough beets. Could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that if you drink enough Guinness, your poop could look black?
I did not know that.
Yeah, but also...
mention that to your dad.
I know. I'm not going to ask my dad about his poop. But also, blood could turn your poop black. So go see a doctor if your poop's black. Same with red. But also, enough Cherry Icy will turn your poop red. So there you go.
I love Cherry Icy.
There are pills out there you can take that will make your poop sparkle poop. Have you seen those?
No.
Yeah, they're capsules you can buy on the internet that you can swallow and you won't digest them. They'll just come out in your poop, give you sparkle poop if that's your bag. Whatever.
Don't poop in a bag.
Whatever you enjoy. You can also buy actual gold leaf pills that will make you have 24 carat poops for the low price of $425.
Ugh.
Let's talk about Frankenberry stool, though.
Finally.
So in 1971, General Mills released a line of monster-themed cereals that we have been discussing. Count Chocula and Frankenberry, I believe, were the first two to be released.
Okay.
Justin can correct me on cereal history if he wants to.
Yeah, this is part of my new series, Cereal History.
You would do great at that series.
Yeah, it was Frankenberry and Count Chocolate first.
Frankenberry, of course, is strawberry flavored and thusly must be pink because strawberries, of course, are quite pink.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. But strawberry flavored things tend to be pink.
You're right.
So it turns out that the dye that they used originally in Frankenberry cereals was red dye number 2. Now, red dye number 2 is not broken down as it passes through the human digestive tract. So it will come out looking pretty much exactly like it did on its way in.
Okay. Which is bright, bright, bright pink.
Bright, bright, bright pink. And this was used in other things, by the way, like hot dog casings, for instance, used to use red dye number 2.
Yucky.
Yeah. What followed after this cereal was released in 71, in 1972, were a lot of freaked out parents. Because as they began, and I can vouch for this, parents often investigate their children's droppings. Make sure everything's looking cool.
Yeah, I'm desensitized to it.
We do that. Their children were pooping pink. Now, a lot of parents seeing pink, as I mentioned, we tend to think of pink as a precursor to red, thought that, oh no, my child is having blood in their stool. So they went to their children's doctors, freaking out, worried. A lot of kids were probably checked to see if there was blood in their stool. But nobody was quite sure what was going on. Now, I imagine this was something that was coming and going, depending on how much Frankenberry cereal your child was consuming. But it was finally, the case was finally cracked by a doctor in...
Acula.
No.
Oh.
Dr. Payne.
No.
Dr. John Payne, who worked in Maryland and published a case report in the Journal of Pediatrics, which followed the story of a 12-year-old boy who was admitted to the hospital with what he called strawberry ice cream colored stools.
Well, that ruins strawberry ice cream. Excellent. Great. Excellent.
I think you get, but I mean, I think that's a good descriptive. Like, I see exactly what color that must have been.
Oh, you think, you think? This is the worst episode we've ever done. I'm retitling this one, Two Hosts, One Yuck.
Oh, no. His mother was particularly afraid because this particular 12-year-old boy had a history of eating strange things from time to time. Like, she caught him eating coffee grounds one time.
Oh.
Like, right. So, like, things that weren't necessarily edible. And so she thought he's eating something really crazy, and it's either, you know, causing hemorrhaging in his bowels, or maybe it's poked a hole in his bowels. I mean, she was really worried. Mm-hmm. Now, it should be noted, by the way, the kid was totally fine otherwise. Other than that his stools were this pink color, he was feeling fine, he was acting fine. Like, this was not a sick child, it just had pink poop. So he was admitted to the hospital and was there for a while the doctors tried to figure out, did every test they could think of on this pink poop, sent it to the lab and ran it for all kinds of bacteria and for blood, and just to try to figure out what is happening inside this kid's digestive tract that he's making pink poop. So Dr. Payne had a creative idea. After taking a thorough history and figuring out all the different foods and things that went into this kid's diet, he staged a test. He had the kid stay there until he was pooping normal colored poop again. And then he fed the kid four bowls of Frankenberry cereal.
Hooray, science. I bet that kid and that young man was named Bill Nye. Made him love science forever. Oh, man. You know what? I'm saying that, but like, I have definitely eaten one bowl of Frankenberry or any cereal of that nature and thought, like, I could eat a little bit more. I've never eaten two bowls of cereal and thought, like, yes.
Well, when you were 12, don't you think you could have eaten four bowls of Frankenberry?
When I was 10, I ate an entire box of Pac-Man cereal and threw up all night and couldn't eat cereal marshmallows for a decade.
Ew.
I know, it's a sad, is that what you're saying? No. It's like a sad story.
I guess I'm sad that, like, it's too late and I've already been married to you for a decade, so, like, I can't go back and take that back now that I know that story.
Well, if you want the really sad part, that 10 years included periods where the monster cereals were in constant production and not just a seasonal production like they are now. So there's a lot of bowls your man Jay missed out on because he was on that. He couldn't eat cereal marshmallows because they were in for him.
Think about all the extra years you're going to live
because to think
of all those bowls of cereal marshmallows you didn't eat.
What might have been, that was then. We have taken different roads.
Just whatever you do, if time travel is invented, please don't go back and stop yourself from eating that whole box of Pac-Man cereal, because chances are then you would have been eating cereal marshmallows on a daily basis for that decade, and you might not be alive right now.
Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt. You were throwing shade at my boy Frankenberry?
Anyway, so the kid eats four bowls of Frankenberry cereal some period of time later, and I'm assuming some light bathroom reading.
Some highlights.
He begins to, once again, poop strawberry ice cream colored stools. And the condition, the actually named medical condition, Frankenberry stool, is born. He was discharged, and it is noted that his mom took him home to find his little sister now pooping pink as well. Because I guess while they were at the hospital, dad just let her eat nothing but Frankenberry or something. I don't know. So after this was published, word spread about the new diagnosis so that when worried parents rushed children into the emergency rooms, the doctors could reassure them, hey, is your kid eating Frankenberry? Yeah, don't worry. That's all it is. You don't even have to stop if you don't want to. Keep eating Frankenberry. You can have pink poop. Now, they did take red dye number 2 out of the cereal. So,
I would think.
So Frankenberry actually will not cause you to poop pink now because they replaced it with red dye number 40. This wasn't actually only because of Frankenberry stool. While that was distressing to parents, it wasn't actually dangerous. There were some tests done. And again, like with most things, they thought that maybe it caused cancer in rats.
It doesn't.
So, and this was also during like the later part of the 70s when kind of the first like fear about food dyes began to become popular. So in response to that, they went ahead and took red dye number 2 out of all foods, replaced it with red dye number 40, which is broken down.
A classic.
So it wouldn't do that anymore. And that's been all the way since like 76, 78, something like that. So any Frankenberry you've had in your life has been red dye number 40. Nowadays, only about 75% of the dye in general, about 75% of the dye in General Mills cereals is actually natural.
Ugh, and it's the worst.
So by 2017, their goal is that all food dyes will be plant-based and natural, and so you won't have any of this red dye number 40 left.
It's the worst. Honestly, go look at a bowl of like Trix right now with the natural colors. It is repellent. The cereal is disgusting now. It's terrible. It looks like a broken down amusement park. It's like muted purples and muted yellows and muted oranges and muted reds. It's terrible.
I completely disagree with you. I think it's probably a little closer to what food is supposed to look like.
Nah, no way. I'm really angry about this.
I completely disagree with you on this, but again, I'm not the cereal fan you are.
They ruined it.
I thought it would be worth noting. Did you ever read Cujo?
No.
The Stephen King book, Cujo. And I have not read it either, but as I was researching this, I found that there is a part in it where there's a cereal called Red Raspberry Zingers, mm-hmm. which turn kids' poop red and freaks their parents out, and their parents all come running into emergency rooms thinking their kids are hemorrhaging inside.
Oh, so it's probably related.
Probably right? inspired by Freaking Mary. So I think it came out in the early 80s. The mm-hmm. book was written in the early 80s, so this would have been right on the heels of all this. So. Cool.
Well, I'm sorry you had to besmirch the name of some of my favorite cereals here, Sydney.
Hey, listen, I think there is a market out there for people who want their poop to look like something. So if you want to eat some Boo-Berry, I have seen reports of electric green stool in response to Boo-Berry. So there you go.
I'll give it a shot. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's show. Want to say a big thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. You know what I wanted to mention that we've actually talked about on the show. Sydney and I are going to go on a cruise. And
we're just bragging.
No, we're not, because we want you to come with us on the cruise. If you go, it's the JOCO cruise, that's Jonathan Colton Cruise. If you go to JOCO, J-O-C-O cruise.com, you can book a cabin right now. We're headed out in 2017. Oh, Sydney, guess who's going to be there? They just added Cecil Baldwin is going to be on the cruise. Very cool. Host of Night Vale.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Max Temkin, creator of Cards Against Humanity, is going to be there. Jonathan Colton, Ed Brubaker, Rhea Butcher, Cameron Esposito, Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men, Peter Sagal, Patrick Rothfuss, John Roderick, Paulin Storm, Gail Simone, Janet Varney, Will Wheaton, Nerve Herder, creator of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme song, is going to be there. A ton of other people, and I guess they're doing a live welcome to Night Vale on the ship too, so that'll be fun. But you can come with us. We're gonna do a live
with us.
Yeah, we're gonna do a live Sawbones. The Chuckster will be there, and it's gonna be great. So go to jococruise.com and book your suite now. Thanks to MaximumFun.org for letting us be a part of their network. And there's a lot of great shows you should go listen to, so go do it. And is that all, Sidster? Is there anything else?
I think that'll do it for us, Justin. Okay. Thank you to the taxpayers for our theme song, Medicines.
I think I thanked them.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
If you didn't, we did twice.
I did. I feel like I did.
I don't think you did, but even if we did twice, know. I think they deserved it.
Please don't tweet about it. I can't find out.
You can tweet about anything you want.
There is going to be, one other thing that just occurred to me. There's going to be a, Nashville Max Fun meetup. Our buddy Eric Neer is reminded me of it. He's a Nashvillian. There's gonna be a Max Fun meetup for fellow Nashville folks. That's gonna be on November 9th. If you search for it on Facebook, search for Maximum Fun Nashville. You'll find all about it. So go do that. It'll be a lot of fun. And also
go vote. Please.
Vote,
this is the last
please.
Time we'll talk to you before Tuesday, November 8th, Election Day. Please go vote.
Please go vote.
I prefer you vote for the candidate I support, but it is important either way that you vote. So,
well, no, I mean, I would really prefer.
No, actually, just, you know, go vote for who I think you should vote for. I'm kidding. Go vote. Participate in the democratic process. Please.
Cool.
Please.
Folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much. Until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.